Yeah, thank you for praying, because I realize that age does matter when I travel from place to place. The night I returned home last Monday, midnight, you know, around 2 something, I went to toilet. I stood up and I couldn't figure out where am I, and I couldn't find my toilet. And I walked around, I was so, you know, like embarrassed, because my next room, the door is open. And I thought, which hotel I'm in, and why this person didn't close his door? And I realized that it's Job's room afterward, and no one in there. And I dare not to open the turn on the light to see where am I. And I was standing there, I thought, come on, God, help me. Where am I? You know, where is the bathroom? You know, I couldn't figure out. So I turned around and round, and finally I found a bathroom. And I came back to the, you know, lie down, and I thought, that is not the bathroom that I usually go to. Yeah, the age really catch up. You know, yeah. So thank you for praying. And this morning I would like to bring attention to you from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Let's read together. Let's read together. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him was seraph, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their face, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, and the whole earth is full with his glory. And the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips, your guilt taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I say, Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Every time when I read the Bible, especially when God, you know, speaks to individual or to Israel people or to whoever, I pay attention to what he is saying. And here he asks a question in verse 8, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? This is Almighty God. He is asking the question. You know, many, many years ago when I was in my junior high, I heard this voice and respond to him. And my life changed. My life changed. When I was in Africa, a young boy, maybe 13, 14 years old, and he told Sumu, saying that when I grew up, I want to be like Pastor Wong. And yet, you know, now he is the vice president of the Bible school. Because of his response to God, even though he was so young, I was young also when I respond to God. So when I look at you people, some of you don't need to feel like I'm too young to understand, you know, the word of God, to understand, you know, what the life really means to me. You can make the early decision, then you will see how God bless you. For years, I traveled around and spoke with different churches. One thing just struck me a lot, like, you know, you have a good speaker in a conference or whatever kind of meetings, and after the, you know, preaching, the speaker usually made an outer call, like say, who want to commit yourself to the Lord for his ministry or whatever. And we have seen a lot of people came up and, walk up to the front. Billy Graham did that a lot. Among the Chinese, with Stephen Tong also did that a lot. Many, many others. But the question remained the same. Those, they come up and respond to God, and how many of them eventually, really go to the mission field or serve the Lord full time or whatever? We see very low percentage of people after making that kind of, decision, respond to the calling, and also actually, work with the Lord and become a reality to serve the Lord in different ways. So here our God is asking, whom shall I send and who will go for us? You remember who asked this question, okay? Let's say if you graduate from your high school and then you apply to a lot of good school, and one of the best school, the principal call you saying, hey, we welcome you. How do you feel about it? Exciting. You are not going to walk on the floor. You're flying, floating around, just filled with happy. If the president call you say, hey, can I have lunch with you? How do you feel about it? I mean, we just have no word to express. This God Almighty, he asked, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? This is the best opportunity in this world. If you miss this one, you really miss your life. Real life. This is so important. And yet, why not many people dare to respond to God? I ask myself, and I look back to this, paragraph from verse 1 to verse 8. And may I suggest a few things here from Isaiah's teaching. A few things we need to bear in mind, because if we want to experience the abundant life that God is preparing for us, we need to respond to his will, to his calling. But in responding to his will and his calling, according to Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1 to 8, there are a few things that we need to work through. First, can we look at the first verse? Okay, the first verse, in the year that King Uzziah died. I love this verse, love this sentence. What happened? Many of us, we follow the world and we planned to have a good life in this world according to the worldly standard. So naturally we wonder, if I want to be successful like so and so, then where, does my spiritual life or, the calling from God come into my life? I mean, how can that happen? Yeah. So many people, we are so concerned about our boss, earthly boss. What are they going to say about me? And we try to please them. So if we please the King Uzziah, our earthly boss, so much, do we have room to please our God? It's very difficult to have two kings or two lords in our hearts to obey both of them equally. It's very hard, very hard. Now, of course, our Lord said that he is the Lord. That means we have only one Lord in our heart. So a lot of people, even though we are Christians, we are so naturally, unintentionally following the world. For example, parents usually tell our children, saying, you study hard so that you can go to a good school, so that you can go into a good program, so that you can have a good life, because you graduate from that school, then you can, find a job easier, then a better job easier. Why? Because then you have good background, good schooling, then you can have a better life, what do we mean by better life? Now we measure with these words standard. Let's say okay, you are your people respect you because you have good job, then you have good income, so you can buy a new car, then you have a good house, you know, stay, you know, have a good living. I mean, all those are not wrong. But the thing is, if we focus on those things as our goal in our life, then where is God and what is His will in our life? We may not have place for God. And we try to say, okay, I would like to be a good Christian also, so I come to Sunday service, or maybe I maybe at another meeting, like prayer meeting, or fellowship. Then we try to convince ourselves saying that I'm not too bad, I'm, you know, pretty good Christian already, you know. But in our heart, we always struggle. Because what? Because we know that this is not exactly right. We frustrate. What do we? How do we define successful in this world? How do we define we have a good life? And then if sickness struck us, then we say, okay, God, where are you? I mean, a lot of things happen in this world we cannot answer. We don't have answer. So if we depend on King Uzziah, then our life, Christian life, we are, I'm afraid we are heading the wrong direction. So I love this sentence saying that the king died. Okay, all our world, on our earthly dependence, or our hope, just gone. So, does that mean that we don't have any hope? No, you just look at the following sentence. I saw the Lord. Okay, we need to experience this in order to have abundant life. We need to, as you know, we need to experience this. I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. We need to turn our eyes, not, you know, from this world to our Lord. We need to see our Lord, what He is doing, who is our God, what has been happening in the past and now, and you know, in the coming days. Brothers and sisters, this is a very important kind of spiritual switch. Or, you know, we need to switch from looking at this world and switch to see what God is doing, who God is. Who am I? What am I, you know, how am I related to this Lord? You need to see the Lord. So if we discipline ourselves, help ourselves to read the Word of God, meditate on who He is all the time, then we can see our God, even though He is God of spirit. You know, we can't see physically, but we do see Him, you know, in the glorious, because we can sense Him, we can know from the Word of God who is He. So this is very important. So brothers and sisters, if we want to have an abundant life, let's do for ourselves. We need to pay attention to our devotion life, reading the Bible, prayer life, because then we draw ourselves nearer and nearer to our Lord. Then we can see Him. I experience that a lot when I'm not too busy, especially the years I spend in Africa. Because in Africa, we don't really need to watch the watch. You know, you don't really need to care what time is it, because you have all the time you want. Okay? And nobody actually says to you, okay, you know, it's 5 o'clock. They don't really care about that. They just look at the sun. Okay, sun is still there, so it's still not dark yet. So they don't care about what time. So sometimes it's very difficult. But, you know, in a sense that I have a lot of time, I just sit there and then pray to God and, you know, just think about our Lord. Just saying that He is sitting out there, highly and exalted. This is our God Almighty. So when we switch our eyes, our attention from the earthly thing to heavenly thing, our whole perspective change. Our whole life change. That's very important. So first things, I would like to challenge all of us, no matter who we are, how old we are, we learn, we ask God to help us. Don't look at the earthly thing. We want to see our Lord. This is very important, because I left the church for 3.5 years, I mean, more than 3 years. why I left the church, because I have someone in the church I really admire. They are spiritual people, and they are church leaders. I don't know if they have any elder or deacon's position, but I admire them. But afterward, I realized that they are not exactly holy men, or like, you know, someone that, you know, I dream about. I saw their weakness, and I was so disappointed. I'm not sure I'm disappointed with God or with those people. But anyway, because at that time, I look at people in the church instead of look at our Lord, you know, then I was disappointed. And I just naturally disappeared from the church for more than 3 years. It was a very painful time because, you know, my family, my grandfather, my parents' generation, our generation, we all grew up in a church. All our friends, they are in a church. If I don't go to church, so who am I? Where are my friends? So I just play basketball after school. And then end up, I will just go to the movie theater and then choose a corner. If the movie is good, then I watch. If not, I sleep. I thought, wow, I'm only 14, 15 years old, and this is my life? So brothers and sisters, don't look at the earthly thing. We need to switch our eye and see who is our God. Okay, we look at the second verse, the second reason here. You know, then we look at the angels, seraph. Okay, another version says seraphim, but anyway, this is angels have six wings. Have anyone seen angel? Not the real one, but probably you see some. Yeah, that's good if you see, because we have a lot of angels among us. You know, somebody just when you are very down, they pat your shoulder, and one word of encouragement, you feel like, wow, I have angel today. That's very special. But look at these angels. Six wings. You know, with two wings they cover their faces, with two they cover their feet, and with two they were flying. How do you explain this? Angel with six wings, two cover their face. They don't want to show off themselves. They want people to see God. And cover their feet. They don't want to boast about their experience. They want people to see God. And two were flying, two wings flying. And they respond to God, and God asked them to go, and they go. So that's very, you know, humbling example for us. Very humbling example for us. And the third verse, go down to another verse. Okay. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." We need to see His glory. We need to see His glory. So brothers and sisters, when we draw nearer to our Lord, we not only see who is sitting on the throne, but we also enjoy, you know, the spiritual things that is come alongside with the whole scenery. You know, we see the glory of God. We heard the, you know, angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord Almighty." You see, all those kind of things help us to become nearer to our God. And when we are nearer to our God, we are far from the earthly thing. We are living in this earth, so we are not saying that we don't care about what happening around us, but we don't focus our life on the earthly thing. We, you know, so this is very important. So when this happened, you know, next verse say what? Next verse say that the sound of their voices, at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Wow, this is something amazing happened. I don't know if we have the chance to see this kind of thing. But anyway, the next verse immediately, the prophet Isaiah, he responds. He say, "Woe to me." How can people say woe to me? Usually people say woe to you. Now you see? Because what happened? Because Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips. And at the same time, he is living among a people of unclean lips. Which means what? He is living in a sinful world. As nature, we see other people's weakness or see the wrongdoing of other people much easier than us. I just consider what happened to Isaiah say woe to me. He didn't curse other people. He actually just said woe to me. You know, I'm ruined. I see the beauty when people turn away from the earth, the worldly thing, and then focus on the, you know, heavenly thing. And then when they, you know, experience, you know, the wonderness of our Lord, you know, to see the glory of our Lord, the glory of our Lord, because our God is holy, and the glory of our God is like a mirror, clean mirror. And when we spend time in front of the mirror, from the mirror, we see the reflection. We see the reflection. When we see the reflection, the Isaiah says, I'm ruined because I'm a man of unclean lips. That means the reflection show who are we. We are but a sinner. We need God's grace. We need God's grace. So that's so important, because otherwise people start pointing finger to each other. Like Isaiah said, I'm a person with unclean lips. But what about you people? You people also unclean lips. So if we compare each other, we start talking to each other saying that, no, you are not better than me. So if we are not looking at the Lord, then we are looking at the, you know, earthly things, then we start quarreling, we start splitting, we start fighting. You know, as I look at God, and then he sees himself from the mirror, the reflection of himself, and he sees, I'm but a sinner. So unless we turn away from the worldly thing and see the Lord, unless we focus on the heavenly thing, we cannot see our weakness. We may think that we are not too bad, and you know, we may start, you know, just accusing other people. So this is very important. Before we respond to God saying that here I am, we need to work on our spiritual life. Otherwise, when we respond to God, we may not really be able to do it as we wish. So this is very important. So you say, Pastor Wong, okay, so knowing that, turn away from the earthly thing and focus on the heavenly thing, does it really encourage me or convince me to respond to God saying that here am I and send me? If this paragraph, the 8 verses, cannot convince you, then let me just draw a few examples. Well, hopefully you can, you know, ponder about it and think about it. Because what is life? I just list a few examples, because you know, those are very important. First, I want to bring to your attention to Abraham. Everybody know Abraham, isn't it? Abraham's, in the Bible record, Abraham's life starts from Genesis chapter 11, the final few verses. God called him, and he responds, so he left his hometown. But he went for, you know, just went to Haran, in a town is north of his hometown, and he stopped there for some years. So when God called him again in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and to, you know, verse 4, then Abraham, especially Genesis chapter 12, verse 4, saying that he obeyed and he went out. So when he obeyed God, respond to God saying that here I am, so he left his hometown and then he went, and he was 75 years old. Remember this. Abraham was 75 when he left his hometown, according to Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. 75 years of his life. There is not much worth record according to God's, you know, value or God's thing that Abraham's life worth. There's not much to record. You remember this. Many of us live in this world. We need to ask ourselves, what about our life? Is it worth anything that God can record about our life, saying that this person lived a good life? Because this person invests in eternal value in this world. So God willing to put down what this person has done. So you just look at this. Abraham, 75 years old. According to the Bible, those 75 years kind of waste in some way, because God doesn't put down any detailed record. Just some very simple thing, a few sentences here there. But when Abraham obeyed God and left his hometown, he said, "Here am I, send me." What happened? From chapter 12 of book Genesis, the life of Abraham, God just records almost every detail. Almost every detail. You remember, we are here for God. God created you and me. Not coincident. This is with a plan. So the plan is we need to live a life that according to God's will and God's plan. So that whatever we do, God will see the value in our life. So where does that happen? Where is that line draw? Basically, the line draw is when you respond to God saying, "God, here am I." Before you respond to Him, according to Bible, we don't see much record that God, you know, spent time to record about Abraham. You look at the life of Moses. Moses in Exodus chapter 3 verse 4, that was a time that God called Moses, Moses. And Moses replied, say, "Here am I." And God said, "Okay, I want you to lead the Israelites out of Egypt." So that is the point that Moses responded to God, say, "Here am I." So when Moses responds, we take that as a, you know, line, this, you know, dividing line in Moses' life. You look at Exodus chapter 1, talk a little bit about Moses. He was born in the Hebrews family, and because he was so beautiful and nice boy, so the family tried to keep him for 3 months before they, you know, use the basket and put him into the basket and put the basket and the baby into the river because they cannot keep it. Then in chapter 2, talk about Moses. He grew up in a palace, powerful, intelligent, influential, with bright future. So the Hollywood, you know, the movie makers. Have you watched the Ten Commandments, the movie? You see, the Hollywood, at least they spent 1 hour on chapter 2, Exodus. But God used only very simple, you know, like record about Moses. Why? Because humanly speaking, the most, you know, beautiful time of Moses' life is in chapter 2 of Exodus. But for 80 years, God used not more than 1.5 chapter to record Moses' life. And for the final 40 years, Moses was 80 years old, he was cold. And he passed away when he was 120 years old. That means the last 40 years, he was old, he cannot do a lot, and he acknowledged it. And yet, because he responded to God, what happened? The last 40 years of life, Moses' life, God recorded very clearly, detailedly, in Exodus, and then in the other books that follow. So, brother and sister, we need to know God's heart in order to live a meaningful life. We need to understand God's heart for you and me so that we can respond to God saying, "Here am I," and we start enjoying the abundant life that's a gift from God. So why are we here? We need to turn away from the earthly thing and look to the spiritual thing, heavenly thing. SIM is a mission organization that I and Sumu and our youngest daughter Ruth, we joined them. This year is our 123 years, very old mission. But how did this mission start? Because one mom, widow, her husband passed away. She have only one son. They are Canadian. They are in Winnipeg area. So she prayed to God, saying, God, I'm but an old woman. What can I do? And God challenged him to take up the ministry of prayer. She never went to any mission field. So she prayed. She responded to God, saying, God, I'm here. So God said, you pray. And she prayed. And she prayed for her son, that her son will be a missionary to the least reached people group. And then she encouraged her son to bring friends to come back so that she can share with them about, you know, what she is praying. And then so the son invited two other classmates, good friends. So three young men came to the house frequently and prayed and encouraged by this old woman. So eventually they sent these three young men went to Africa. They went to Nigeria, you know, land in Lagos. That is at the coastal area, big port there, and they went up to the inland through Niger River. And after 1 year, two out of three died because of, you know, sickness. The third one was almost died, so he was evacuated back home. And the woman's son died. And the young man came back. The old mom said to him, son, do you mind to be my son? Because my son died already, but do you mind to be my son? So the young man said yes. And then she encouraged him to recruit other people to go out, to be missionary. So, respond to God, say, here am I, doesn't mean that you need to be a missionary out there somewhere. But you need to respond to God, saying, God, here am I, what do you want me to do? So God may want us to teach Sunday school, God may want us to respond to prayer ministry, different kind of ministry. We need to respond to God. Otherwise, our life will be just wandering around and maybe following the world. And then we consider so-and-so is successful, then easily become our goal to live, to become a person like him or her. Then we miss what? We miss the spiritual blessing from God. So unless we understand that the heavenly blessing is the most important, and then we need to respond to God, we need to turn our eye from this earth and to look at our God, and see how He is going to lead us. So brothers and sisters, let's prepare ourselves to respond to Him and say to God, God, here am I. Just use me. Send me. Shall we pray? Father God, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of Isaiah. Thank you for your teaching, because we realize you left us with this wonderful Bible full of wisdom, full of your guidance. So help us to turn our eyes to you and to see from your word what you want us to do in order to have an abundant life. So we want to thank you because you have the best gift prepared for us, and yet many of us, we never experienced it. So help us to know what is the gift and how can we live out this gift. We want to thank you because of your love and your kindness, your patience for us. We want to thank you, Lord, again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.